Take your Bibles and turn with me to John chapter 5 this morning. After reading the scripture and focusing on the subject of the judgment seat of Christ, you often think, well, after having a good time this morning, now we're going to be talking about judgment. But you know what? It's in the Bible, isn't it? And we need to hear it. The world needs to hear it. Because Jesus spoke these words. And if they come from him, he did it because we need to hear it and be safe in his arms. So, title this morning, Truly, 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 I Say to You. And that's exactly how it starts out here in verse 19, if you'll follow along with me. John chapter 5, beginning with verse 19. Therefore, Jesus answered and was saying to them, Truly, truly, I say to you, the Son cannot do nothing of himself unless it is something he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, these things the Son also does in like manner. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he must himself is doing. And the Father will show him greater works than these, so that you will be marveled. For just as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, even so the Son also gives life to whom he wishes. For not even the Father judges anyone, but he has given all judging to the Son, so that all will honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. And here Jesus again says in verse 24, Truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and does not come into judgment, but has passed out of death into life. I want to ask you a question this morning. How many of you would like or would vote for Abraham Lincoln if he were living today? I don't see many hands. I would. I like him. I think he did some great things. He spoke some good words. And I think our world needs to hear him today, especially the United States. Some of our early presidents and leaders said some godly words. And I got to thinking, if it was that bad back then, I wonder if they were here today what they would be thinking and what they would be writing. Because I want to do a quote from Abraham Lincoln. I like to read about past presidents and leaders who had their eyes focused on God. They weren't perfect by far. But I understand as I read and I see some of the examples and what they portrayed in life, their heart was in the right place. Now, this is what Abraham Lincoln said back in 1863, okay? This is what he said. This was in a speech in 1863. Abraham Lincoln said, We have been the recipients of the choicest bounties of heaven. We have been preserved these many years in peace and prosperity. We have grown in the numbers, in wealth, in power as no other nation has ever grown. But we have Now, this is what he says. We have forgotten God. We have forgotten the gracious hand which preserved us in the peace and multiplied and enriched and strengthened us. And we have vainly imagined in the deceitfulness of our hearts that all of these blessings were produced by someone superior wisdom and virtue of our own. Intoxicated with unbroken success, we have become too self-sufficient to feel the necessity of the redeeming and preserving grace, too proud to pray to God that made us. Does that do something to you? Does that stir you a little bit? For a man back in 1863 to speak those words, and what would he say today? What are we saying today? What are we hearing today? The day is coming, according to Scripture, that one of these days that all will stand before the seat of God, the judgment seat of God. Now, I don't want to confuse you with the great white throne of God, because that's different. But Christians will stand before the judgment seat of Christ one of these days and give an account of ourselves, whether it's good or bad. Okay? The great white throne is for those who deny or have rejected Christ, and when they stand, they will be judged according to their sin, even though they're lost, because there will be degrees of sin for the lost people, just like they are degrees of sin for the Christian, but yet we will be saved because Jesus Christ died for our sin. But as Paul says, shall we sin so more grace will abound for us? And he said, oh, please, heaven forbid if you would even think that way. So, the Bible speaks very clear. Jesus says, truly, truly, I say unto you. When he says that, you know, we need to have our ears on, our hearts open to hear what it says. In verse 23, Jesus will judge the world. See, the Father has left that up to Jesus. And Jesus says, I don't do anything unless I see what the Father is doing or he tells me to do. In Matthew, he says, in Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, it says, all authority has been given to me upon in heaven and on earth. All authority. So the Father and the Son are in complete oneness and unity. And see, Jesus, knowing what the Father does and obedient in every way, oftentimes we hear the word WWJD. What would Jesus do? I guess I want to take that just a little bit further, because we know what Jesus is going to do. Because the Bible says that he always obeyed the Father in everything that he did. He was complete obedience. And we often think, well, he was perfect in all ways because he was God, incarnated as a son to come cleanse our sins. But I want to take that a little bit further, because we say, well, I'm not perfect. There's a lot of gray areas in our lives. Well, put it this way. What would Jesus have me do? Put the have me in there. Have me do. And that would kind of help us to understand how that we can make some good choices in our life. And then when we stand before God, the judgment seat of Christ, we don't have to stand there, you know, sweat rolling off of us. Because we know, he knows exactly how we lived our life. Now, according to 2 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, it says, all Christians will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And what this means, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, an evaluation of our all thoughts, our words, our deeds, awaits them in the future. You see, all of our thoughts, all of our words we've spoken, all of our deeds that we have done awaits in the future. See, school teaches students to prepare for tests that gauge their achievement. Employers motivate employees by regularly performance review. And all of you know what that is, don't you? Doctors remind patients of annual physical exams. How many gets a physical every year? Well, most of us. So you pay attention to that, don't you? We pay attention to that. We better. So evaluations are part of our life. So if they're part of our life now, and we take them very seriously, how much more seriously should we take the evaluation that as we stand one of these days at the judgment seat of Christ, that we take that seriously and we take care of our lives daily as of our thoughts and our words and our deeds and everything about us, our mind, soul, and body, that we make sure that when we stand before Him, He's going to smile. Say, good, enter in my good and faithful service. I have no offense against you. Of course, you know, He died for our sins. So our sins have been forgiven, past, present, and future. And for the Christians, on a daily basis, you know, we should say, Lord. And you know what? I've heard people say, you know, forgive me of those sins that I'm not aware of. I tell you what, if you sin and you're a Christian, you're going to be aware of it. You know why? Because that's the work of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes, you know, the Lord says to me, hey, Mike, hey, stop right there. You know, make it right, get it right. I said, you're right. I need to make it right, right here, right now. See, that's the Holy Spirit working in our lives and wanting us to clean it up. Take care of business right now. Don't delay it, because the more we delay in confessing our sin and repenting of them, they start building up and they keep piling up. And then at some point in time, the ones that we committed first are somewhere down the line and we done forgot about it. It's not because we weren't reminded of it. It's because we have forgotten about it because we hadn't confessed it. So what I'm saying this morning, in order to be blessed in our life, confess them daily and say, Lord, you know I did this. I said this. My words weren't right. My thoughts weren't right. My deeds weren't good. So I want to clear it up, make it right with you now. So when we stand before the Lord, we can stand there with confidence. We don't stand there with cold hands, right? But with a pure heart, a clear mind, ready to offer praise and thanks to the Lord Jesus Christ for what He's done in our life. See, God will reward our good works and ask us to give an account of those He finds worthless. You see, the judgment seat of Christ must be distinguished from the great white throne, where lost people will be judged based on their works. Now, the Bible says here that Jesus is a righteous judge. See, Jesus will be a righteous, and He will be a just judge. So our Lord knows all things and is completely fair. In John chapter 2, He said, you know, He evaluates and He looks at our lives in perspective of our commitment and our surrender to Him and he will judge us fairly. He will judge us on the basis of these things here. How much truth we heard and understood. He will judge us on the basis of truth and how much we understand. You see, and how reason I say that, how much truth that we heard and understand is based upon how much we are in the Word, or we listen to the Word, and we ask the Lord for discernment. And we don't have any excuse one of these days to say, well, you know, Lord, I heard that, but I didn't understand it, so I shouldn't be held accountable. It doesn't work that way, does it? So we will be judged according to what we have heard and what we understand. And if we say, well, Lord, I just didn't understand that. And Jesus will say, well, why didn't you understand it? Why didn't you try to understand it? And the Bible says, if we lack wisdom, what are we supposed to do? James chapter 1, verse 5 says, ask him. You know, if we read something in the Word of God, and you know what? I'll confess myself. I don't always understand everything. But if I don't understand, you know what I do? I keep digging and digging and reading and searching resources until I have a clear understanding and I'm at peace with it. If I don't have peace with it, you know what I do? I keep digging. I keep praying. Lord, I still don't understand it. And you know what? He'll give it to me when I'm ready to receive it. When you're ready to receive it, God's going to just overflow your cup with blessings. And one of these days, when the time is right, the opportunity is right, then he's going to say, you know what? Pass this along to this person here, because they're struggling with the same situation you are, and you can help them. And maybe that's why we struggle oftentimes not understanding what we hear or what we read until we're ready to receive it. And when we're ready to receive it, God says, okay, now apply it. And then when we stand before Jesus at the judgment seat of Christ, when we stand before him, we can be rest assured that we're in good favor with him. First of all, because he loves us and because we tried to live according to his word. So how much truth we heard and understand is very important. See, when God measures a man, when he measures our life, he didn't put a tape measure around our head. You know what? What he does is he checks the heart. What's in here? What is really totally surrendered to him? And I know there's a lot of young people or adults that struggle with their spiritual life. And they struggle with circumstances in their life. It's what's happened in the past, what's happening in the present, and what may happen in the future. But we are rest assured that, you know, God says, you know, I've got it covered. I'm in complete control of all things, you know. I can lay down at night and rest assured that God's in control, and I don't have to worry about the circumstances as long as I'm keeping my eyes and I trust him with my whole life. We as Christians, we can do that. See, we don't have to worry about what's happening. We can be concerned, and we need to be praying for the world's turmoil and everything that's going on now. And I do believe it's part of the signs and prophecy that's being fulfilled. And whether or not the news media wants to understand announce it correctly, we know as Christians that it's part of the sign of time. And I do believe the Lord is trying to give us a wake-up call. He's trying to open our eyes. He's trying to open our ears, our hearts, to understand that, you know, now is the time to wake up, shake it up, and be on target with Christ. The best thing we could do as Christian is to pray for our nation, pray for the world situation. Pray for what's going on out in Missouri, right? A lot of turmoil in our world today. See, Christ will always be impartial, but he's the perfect judge according to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 17. See, he judges, his judgment is flawless. It's perfect. That's what I like about it, because he's going to look at it and evaluate it perfectly. See, we'll agree with his assessment of our lives and our character. See, it's not like the earthly judges and courts where some may not always get a fair trial. We may get pulled over for something by state police or someone, and if we're wrong, we're wrong, right? If we go to courts or something like that, sometimes there's a lot of people, innocent people, that's been judged wrongly. But in most cases, people who do wrong is going to get caught eventually. And they will stand before the judge and the court and be judged accordingly. And we might not think it's always fair, but when we stand before Christ, his judgment of our lives is going to be right on. And you know what? You and I will have to stand there, and we're going to have to agree with him. We will. We'll have to agree with him. Say, Lord, you are right. How many of us are going to say, no, Lord, you're wrong there? That's not what I was thinking. That's not really the way it happened. You know, he is seated much higher than we are, isn't he? He's up there. He can see right down on us. Not only can he see us, but he knows the intent of the heart and the mind. So we got to agree with him. There was no way that I would disagree with him. Would you? Not because I fear him. It's because I respect and reverence his judgment of my life, because he's the one that went to the cross and died for my sin. And therefore, I'm going to say, what else? What else, Lord? Because right now is the time to get it right. You know, for an unsaved person that misses the judgment seat of Christ, I'm sorry. Because when you stand before the great white throne judgment, that is it. That is the end before you're judged and you are spend eternity in hell. And we don't like to hear that word hell, but it's real. And did you know, when you read the scriptures, when you look in there and you meditate and you read from Genesis to Revelation, there's more spoken, Rand backed me up on this, there's more spoken about hell than there is in heaven. Why would that be? Why would the Bible speak more of hell than heaven? Well, I see it that it's a reason, because no one wants to go there. And it will make it clear that, you know, you better stay away from hell, because you're going to be separated from God and Jesus Christ, who died for our sins. But there's enough about heaven for me to say, that's where I want to be, because that's where my Lord and Savior is. So all my loved ones who've died and gone on before will be. And if we can rest assured, our hearts and our minds in clear conscience, in good standing with the Lord, you don't have nothing to worry about. But the thing of it is, erase any doubt in your mind. If you think about the existence of God or what he has done, or he went to the cross and died for his sin, because he did. That's a scripture. That's absolutely truth. And I believe that over anything that man-made has written or published or will be published in years to come, because God has reserved His word, and it will stand to the end of time. I'd rather trust in the Lord, believing Him. If I stand in one day and there isn't a God, then I have nothing to lose. But if I don't believe in God and I stand before Him one of these days, I have everything to lose. So one of these days, I want you to understand this, because Jesus says, truly, truly, I say to you, that we will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ one of these days. There was a man who was talking to his friend, and he said that I will not become a Christian. I am not going to become a Christian because I was caught in a man's kitchen, and he scolded me, and he swore at me, and he is a Christian. And if that's the way Christians are, I don't want no part of it. His friend handed him a piece of paper. He said, you write down everything that was said, and you sign it. And he also added, when you stand before Christ at the judgment seat of Christ, you hand this to Jesus. Is Jesus going to overlook that? No, no way. Because He's looking at man rather than looking at Christ. See, when I look at any man or any individual here on this earth, you know, I look right on through that to see Christ. Because there's nothing perfect about any of us. One of these days we will stand perfect after we're being judged and after we say, enter in, my faithful servant. But until then, we got to keep doing as the scripture says, work out your salvation day by day with fear and trembling. Not that you're lost, but you to work it out. Take care of all the flaws and the things that are in your life that causes you to trip or stumble. Keep your eyes on Jesus Christ, and you'll never go wrong. Never go wrong. And don't believe anybody else that tries to steer you any other direction. And that's what's wrong with our world today, because there's so many religions and so forth that's teaching a false gospel, and there's only one, and that's Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Father God, we thank You for this day. We thank You for Your blessings. Thank You for caring for us. And Your love was so great that You went to the cross and died for our sins. And Lord, You give us the awesome responsibility to make good choices. And You are willing to help us. You don't just put us out on a limb and expect us to not be able to choose. But Lord, You give us the understanding of Your word, Your Holy Spirit, to help us discern. If we lack wisdom, we can ask You. Lord, I pray this morning, if any of us is struggling with any decisions, whether it be salvation or renewing of their belief and their faith in You, Lord, this is a perfect day, perfect setting to make it right. Lord, we just thank You, Lord, that when we do stand before You, that You will be a righteous and just judge. Because You say that You love us and You care for us, but we have a responsibility to live a godly life. That our lives will reflect that we'll be different from the world itself. We're in the world, but not of the world. So, Lord, we just praise Your holy name. Be with us and be with everyone as we choose to do Your will this morning in this service. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. I believe our hymn of invitation.